Okay, welcome back to Shmuel Aleph, and we are learning Perek Chaf Ches tonight. And a very interesting Perek. Last week, we learned about David fleeing to the Plishtim, of all people and of all places. But that's his way of getting away from Shaul. Shaul's not going to look for him there. And tonight, we have a very interesting story, at least the beginning of the story. I don't think we'll get to the whole Perek tonight. At least the beginning of the story with Shaul and how he deals with a threat that comes his way. So we begin Perek Chaf Ches Pasuk Aleph. Vayhi bayamim ha'hem, vayikbitzu plishtim es machanehem latzava lehilachem biyisrael. So it was in those days, and the plishtim all gathered their army together to wage war with the Jewish people. And we'll see why in a minute. They decided right now to do this, but the Plishtim mobilize to fight the Jewish people. Vayomer Achish el David, now we know is the king of Gas, he's one of the Plishti kings, and Achish says to David, David of course as we know is living among Achish and his people in Gas, or in a suburb of Gas. So Achish says to David, Yadoa teida ki iti teitze b'machane, that you should know, I want you to come out with me. I want you to come out with me in the camp, you and your men, to come with me into battle. Okay, so he wants David to come with him. David was known as a courageous warrior, of course, and he wants his assistance. And the Malbim, of course, picks up on the words, Yadoa teida ki iti teitze b'machane. You will come with me, iti. Why does Achish say you will come with me? So says the Malbim, because he specifically wanted David to accompany him, not to go with his troops. He did not want David to go with his troops. He wanted David to accompany him. Why? So interestingly, the Malbim says that often these kings would enlist foreign troops to protect them. They had their own troops. They had their own forces. But they enlisted foreign troops to protect them. Why? Because not only would these foreign troops protect them, but in case there was some sort of mutiny, in case there was some sort of rebellion by their own troops, the foreign troops would be loyal. They would protect them because they have no connection to these troops. They only have the loyalty to this king that hired them. So that's why he says, I want you and your men to come with me. I want you to come out with me, Bamachane. You're going to protect me. And just in case my men start to act up, you'll be on my side. You're not gonna go with them. The Malbim also says that maybe in the back of Achish's mind, he was worried, you know, maybe David's not really going to fight against Bnei Yisrael. Even though David tried to convince him, we read last week that I am going to fight against Bnei Yisrael, Achish in the back of his mind suspected him a little bit. You know, he is a Jew. Maybe he's not really going to fight so legitimately against the Jewish people. And that's why he says, you know what? You stay with me. You stay with me. You protect me. And my men will fight against the Jews. Okay. Pasuk Beis. Vayomer David el Achish. Lachein ata seida es asher yaseh avdecha. So David says to Achish, listen, you trust me. You trust me to protect you, to guard you. You're gonna see the greatness. You're gonna see my courage. You're gonna see my gevura. You're gonna see all the great things that I can do in battle. Vayomer Achish el David lachein shomer l'roshi asimcha kol hayomim. I'm going to make you my personal guard, my personal secret service person, right? Kol hayomim, because right, I'm happy you're gonna protect me. I trust you, and this is great. Now, Achish, says the Malbim, didn't want David to think he didn't trust him. That's why he's telling him, listen, no, Sharmel Roshi, Asimcha Kolayam, I'm going to make you my personal guard. And says the Malbim, David was very happy with this arrangement. Why? Because David didn't really want to fight the Jewish people. He didn't want to fight the Jewish people. Remember, this was all a fake. This was all a facade that David was putting on for Achish. He had no intention of fighting the Jews. So he was actually very pleased with this arrangement. I'll protect Achish and let his troops do the fighting. I'm not going to fight the Bnei Yisrael. Okay. Now, that those two psukim are kind of the introduction to this parak. Plishtim are coming to wage war against Bnei Yisrael. Now, of course, who's the king of Bnei Yisrael? Shaul. So what's Shaul's reaction? So let's see. Says the pasuk, Shmuel meis. Shmuel dies. Vayispedu lo kol Yisrael, and all of Bnei Yisrael eulogize Shmuel. Vayikberuhu v'arama uve'iro, and they bury him in Ramah and in his city. That's a strange expression. What does that mean? You bury someone in one place, in one location. So what does that mean? They bury him in Ramah and in his city. So we'll see. V'sha'ul heisir ha'ovos ves hayidonim me'ha'aretz. And Shaul went about eradicating the land, eradicating all of the avos and the yidonim. What were the avos and the yidonim? These were different type of people, necromancers, sorcerers, people that engaged in black magic and sorcery, all these kind of things, you know, the kochos hatuma, so to speak, these evil spirits. And Shaul got rid of all of this from the land. Okay. Now, let's go back to the beginning of this pasuk. That's the translation of the pasuk. Let's go back to the beginning. So the pasuk says, Ushmua meis. Now, the problem is, we know this already, because we're now, this is Perek Chaf Ches. Shmuel, we read Shmuel died in Perek Chaf Hei, right? In Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Aleph, Vayoma Shmuel. Shmuel dies. Vayikmetzu kol Yisrael, Vayispedu lo, and all of Bnei Yisrael gathers, and they eulogize him, Vayikberuhu beveso v'Rama, and they bury him in his home in Rama. So we read this already. Three prakim ago, we learned that Shmuel dies.
If you have Ushmuel above, yeah, before Shmuel, this way means like now it's, now we're repeating it again. Meaning it's
now a, we're repeating it. So the Vav Ushmuel.
Ushmuel makes. So because
it's a repetition.
It's a repetition.
Okay. Okay. So the question is then why is it repeated here? Maybe you're right. Right? Shmuel really died maybe in Perek Chaf Hei. So why is it repeated here in Perek Chaf Ches? Okay,
Rabbi, it's repeated because in previous times when Bnei Yisrael had war against their enemies, Shaul would always go to Shmuel for guidance. But now that Shmuel was gone, Shaul was scared and he had nobody to guide him.
Good. Okay, very nice. Good. So let's see some of the interpretations. Very nice. Okay. So exactly as Mikey just said, Rashi explains that the reason why it's repeated here, Shmuel died, in Perek Chaf Hei. Shmuel died three prakim ago. Why is it repeated here with Shmuel Meis? Because he had no one to go to. Shaul had no one to go to anymore. Shmuel was dead. And now the Plishtim are coming to wage war. Who's he going to turn to? There's no more Shmuel. So that's why the pasuk repeats, Shmuel Meis. Shmuel Meis. Now, the only challenge with that interpretation, you know, and again, Rashi doesn't deal with this, but then the question is, why do we have to repeat all of the details? Who cares the fact that they eulogized him? Where they buried him. Why is that important? If the whole point is just to say that Shmuel is no longer with us and therefore Shaul has no one to turn to, okay, so just repeat, Shmuel Meis. Why are we repeating all the details? Vayispedulo, right? Vayberuhu, why are we repeating all of those? Those seem irrelevant. Okay, now, the Rashi does add, according to this interpretation, that this happened, you know, in Perek Chaf Hei, and now we're just repeating it here because Shaul has no one to turn to. He says that's why Shaul had to rid the land of all of the Ovos. Okay? Well, we'll see in a moment, actually. A different understanding. There are some of Farshim that understand that once, I think the Malbim says this. Yeah. I think the Malbim says this. That once Shmuel died, so Nevuah ceased. There was no more Nevuah. All the other Nevi'im kind of tapped into Shmuel's Koach HaNevuah, Shmuel's power of Nevuah. So once Shmuel died, Nevuah stopped. So if Nevuah stopped, people in general started turning to the Ovos and the Yidonim. They started turning to all of these other forces and other sorcerers to try to get some information. There was no Nevuah. They were seeking Nevuah. They were lacking Nevuah. So that's why Shaul had to work overtime to rid the land of all of this stuff after Shmuel died. But now Shaul's stuck because he has no one to turn to. And we'll see that in a minute. Why does the pasuk say that? I'm sorry. I used to do lo kol Yisrael, but Rama uveiro. Rashi understands that the hespedim, but Rama uveiro is also going on the hespedim, because you can only bury someone in one place. So obviously he was buried in Rama. Uveiro is going back on the hespedim. They gave eulogies in Rama and in their cities. Why? So Rashi says because there were eulogies at the funeral where he was buried in Rama, but then every city eulogized him. In every city, there are eulogies. Imagine the Gadol is Nifter. So, of course, you're going to have eulogies at the Levaya. But then, in many places, in many yeshivas and shuls and cities, you're going to have eulogies as well. Why? And especially, says the Radak, because what was Shmuel's Mida? If you remember, what did Shmuel excel in? Of course, he was a Navi. But Shmuel went, the Pesukim said, we learned, you know, many months ago, Shmuel went from city to city. He did house calls. He did house visits. He didn't just sit on his throne and let people come to him as the Navi. No, he went to each and every city and tried to help them. So in the merit, in the schus of him going to each and every city, they were hespedim for him in each and every city. That's why there were multiple hespedim. Vayispedu lo berama uveira. Okay, now, why does it say vayikberuhu berama? And again, according to Rashi, it just vayikberu berama. They buried him in Rama. That's it. Uveiro is going back on the hespedim. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Right. Right. So the Iro is repeated. The Radak says Pashup Shad is either two things. Either there were two different Ramas. So this is identifying that we're talking about the Rama that was Iro. So it's not two locations, Rama and Iro. Iro is qualifying which Rama we're talking about. That's one possibility. Another possibility is Berama uvi Iro, that even if a person is buried in a city, they're often buried on the outskirts of the city or just outside the city limits. Shmuel is buried Berama uvi Iro in the city limits of Rama. He was buried in the city because he was a tzaddik, because he was the Navi. So that's why he was buried inside. That's the Radak's interpretation. The Malbim says something beautiful. And the Malbim says, why does it say he was buried in two places? Because since the Nevuah ceased after Shmuel died, it was almost considered like he died twice. Because had Nevuah continued, you could say, okay, Shmuel died, but his legacy lives on. His students, the B'nai HaNevi'im, the other Nevi'im, they're still prophesying. But once Nevuah ceased, so now Shmuel died, Vayikberuhu, Berama, Uveiro. He was almost buried again because his legacy ceased as well. His legacy no longer existed. What he excelled in the Nevuah and what he taught his students, it didn't happen. There was nothing left. So that's why it repeats, Berama, Uveiro. The Malbim says that this pasuk really includes four reasons why it's repeated here. Not just this pasuk, but there are four reasons why his death is repeated here, even though, again, like we said, he already died in Perek Chafei. Number one, during his lifetime, no one would have consulted the Ovos. They would have gone to Shmuel, they would have gone to the Nevi'im. But now there was no Nevuah, people started consulting the Ovos, and Shaul had to get rid of them. That's reason number one. Reason number two why it's repeated here, once Shmuel died, the Plishtim became emboldened and they decided now it's time to go to battle. Sartzila me'aleim. Their protector is no longer here. Their great Navi is gone. So therefore, that's why there's no coincidence that the Plishtim decide right now to go to battle. Shmuel died. Oh, Shmuel's not there. He's not there to protect B'nai Yisrael. Now we're going to go to battle. They don't have the schus to protect them. Reason number three. Once Shmuel dies, Shaul is scared. Because Shaul always had Shmuel to bank on, right? To lean on. Shmuel and his schus, the great Navi, Shaul always felt very confident with Shmuel, behind him. Now that Shmuel's dead, Shaul's scared. And we'll see in a minute, Shaul really is scared. And number four, once he died, Shaul could not ask him anything. Shaul could not turn to him for guidance, for advice, for approval or disapproval. So Shaul now has to find something or someone else to turn to for that advice, for that guidance. Okay. Pasuk Dalet. Vayikbitzu plishtim vayavo vayachanu bishunam. So the plishtim come and they settle in Shunam. They settle in Shunam. Bishunam. Shunam, the Mefarshim point out, is in Eretz Yisrael. So they left the plishti land and they come to into Eretz Yisrael proper where the Jewish people are settled. Vayikbitz Shaul es kol Yisrael vayachanu bagilboa. And Shaul gathers all of Bnei Yisrael, meaning his troops. He doesn't gather the entire nation. And they settle, they camp out in Gilboa. Now, Gilboa is not that close to Shunem. Shaul was nervous. He was scared. He didn't want to get too close. He had to fight. So he's got to you know, get the troops out. But he doesn't want to get too close to Shunem. We're going to see in a minute that Shaul himself decides to turn to the Ovos. And now says the Malbim, the Psukim, the next three Psukim, this Pasuk and the next two, are giving the four reasons why Shaul decided to turn to the Ovos, to turn to these spirits, even though he had just worked hard to rid the land of them. So reason number one, Shmuel died, like we just explained. He had no one else to turn to. Reason number two, he was scared, and he didn't want to get too close to the Plishti camp. So he needed... They had settled in Eretz Yisrael. He needed, and again, someone to turn to. Pasuk Hey, Vayar Shaul es machane plishtim, Vayira Vayecherad libo meod. Shaul sees the camp of the plishtim, and he's afraid. He's trembling. He's scared. The Tzudas David says, Pashup Shadi was scared. It was a very formidable force. It was a large army. He was scared. The Malbim says, though, no, there was something metaphysical here as well. Shaul, when he felt fear, he knew that was not a good sign. The feeling of fear itself, Shaul realized, was a sign that something is off. When you're going into battle against the Plishtim, you can't have anything off. Everything has to be in perfect equilibrium. Physically, obviously, but spiritually also. And Shaul knew that if I'm feeling this level of fear, there's something wrong spiritually. That's the Vayira Vayecherad Libo Ma'od. Vayira, and he felt fear. Vayecherad Libo. He trembled because of that fear, because he knew that this was a bad sign. And this is reason number three, says the Malbim, why he ended up turning to the spirits. Pasuk Vav. Vayishal Shaul Ba'Hashem Velo Anahu. Shaul turns to Hashem to look for guidance. He didn't answer him. Gam Bachalomos. Gam ba'urim, gam ba'navim. The Mefarshim explain that these were all methods and forms, says the Radak, of consulting Hashem. So Vayishal Shaul ba'Hashem is the introduction of the pasuk. Now, how did he go about consulting Hashem? In three ways. Chalomos, there were people that were experts in dreams, and they would interpret dreams in different ways and ask questions and then dream about them. So that was one avenue that he took to get some guidance, to get some advice. Ba'urim, the Urim V'tumim. He seeked out the guidance of the Urim V'tumim. And the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im refers to presumably Shmuel's Talmidim. Now again, according to the Malbim, there was no more Nevuah here. So that was part of the problem. The other Mefarshim don't exactly say that, but that was part of the problem. But this is what he did. Now, Pasuk says, "V'lo ano Hashem." Hashem didn't answer him. So the Malbim says, this is the final reason why he turned to these spirits. He turned to the Ovos because Hashem wasn't answering him. He was trying to seek out Hashem. Hashem wasn't answering him. Now we'll see in a minute why. Before we get there, though, the Urim, interesting, the Radak points out, before the Radak, Rashi says, why didn't the Urim V'tumim answer him? Right? He was the Melech. Trying to find out if he should go to war, how he should go to war. That sounds like a reasonable request of the Urim V'Tumim. So, right? So why did the Urim V'Tumim answer him? Says Rashi, because what did Shaul do to the Kohanim of Nov? He slaughtered them. Remember, Shaul killed out all of the Kohanim of Nov. Nov Yerakohanim. So because Shaul killed out Nov Yerakohanim, the Urim V'Tumim did not answer. Urim V'Tumim did not answer him. That's what the Kohanim use. Urim V'Tumim didn't answer him. Now the Radak asked an interesting question. Where were the Urim V'Tumim right now? And the Mitzvah Astov, it says the same, I believe. The Urim V'Tumim were with Evyasar HaKohen. But if you remember, there was one Kohen that escaped from the city of Nov, and that was Evyasar, and he had taken the Urim V'Tumim with him. And where did he go? Who was he with? He was with David, the Mefarshim say. So how did Shaul consult the Urim V'Tumim? That's a good question. So the Radak says that maybe he sent messengers to go find David in the Urim V'Tumim. And the messengers somehow located David, who was, of course, in Gass or near Gass in the Plishti land. And through that, they consulted the Urim V'Tumim. It's a little strange because Shaul didn't know where David was. Right? That was the whole point of David running away. Unless you say that, no, Shaul really did know that he was by the Plishtim. He just decided, okay, he's in the Plishtim. I'm not going to go chase him. But that's how he understands.
Maybe the Urim V'Tumim didn't answer him either.
I'm sorry?
Maybe the Urim V'Tumim didn't answer him either.
Who?
The
It didn't answer. It did not answer Shaul.
Right.
That's what we're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Whether he had it or didn't have it when he reached out to him. When he reached out for the Urim V'Tumim to say, where was David on my left? And it didn't tell him.
Maybe. Could be. So maybe you're saying maybe he located the Urim V'Tumim, but he didn't locate Dov. That could be. Okay. Now, there's a fascinating question that both the Radak and the Malbim struggle with. And the Radak gives one answer, which we'll share, and then the Malbim gives a fascinating answer. The Pasuk here says, Vayishal Shaul Ba'Hashem. Right? Shaul seeked out Hashem, v'lo anohu. Now, in Divrei Ayamim, right, of course, you have to be on the level of the Mefarshim who are holding in Divrei Ayamim and know all the Pesukim cold. But in Divrei Ayamim, the Navi, or the Pesukim, describe what happened here. And the Pasuk says that this was a sin of Shaul, that he consulted the spirits, which we'll talk about in a minute. And what does the Pasuk say? This is Divrei Ayamim Aleph, Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Velo Dorash Bashem. Shaul did not seek out Hashem. Vayimisehu. So Hashem kills him. We'll see. Shaul's going to lose his life over this. Vayasevis HaMelucha LeDavid Ben Yishai. And Kadosh Baruch Hu takes the Melucha and gives it to David Ben Yishai. Now all the Mefarshim ask. One second. In our Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, we say, Vayishal Shaul Bashem. Shaul asks Hashem. He consults Hashem. And yet in Divrei Ayamim, the Pasuk says, what was Shaul's downfall? Velo Darash Bashem. What do you mean, Velo Darash Bashem? What do you mean he didn't ask Hashem? We just read that he asked Hashem. So the Radak says that you have to say he really did ask Hashem, because that's what our Pasuk says. So what does it mean in Divrei Ayamim, Velo Darash Bashem? You have to say that it means it wasn't considered as though he really asked Hashem. Because since after asking Hashem, and Hashem didn't answer him, he turned to the Ovos, he turned to the spirits, and he treated asking Hashem and asking the Ovos equally. So therefore, it was considered that he did not ask Hashem. That's how the Radak answers the question. Okay. Now the Malbim asks the same question, gives a totally different answer, and a fascinating answer. And of course, in the Malbim's inimitable way, unbelievable. The Malbim says, you have to read the Pesukim carefully. What does our Pasuk say? And what does the Pasuk say in Divrei Ayam? Our Pasuk says, Vayishal Shaul Ba'Hashem. Pasuk in Divrei Ayam says, Velo Darash Ba'Hashem. Says the Malbim, there's a major difference between She'ela and Drisha. She'ela means you're asking Hashem, but you're not doing it wholeheartedly. Darash, Drisha, that's doing it wholeheartedly. Davening, that Hashem should give you an answer. Putting your kochos, putting everything into it. That's Drisha. Vayishal Shaul Ba'Hashem. Shaul asked, but he asked half-heartedly. He didn't put his kochos, he didn't put his kishkas into this consultation. And that's why, v'lo ano Hashem. the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim is saying the same thing. Velo darash b'Hashem. Not that he didn't ask Hashem. He did ask Hashem. He didn't really seek out Hashem. He didn't really put everything into that consultation with Hashem and daven that Hashem should guide him and should give him the advice and show him what to do. Yeah, maybe.
And says, Rabbi, what I don't understand.
Hold on, Mikey, hold on 1 second. And says the Malbim, you see this expressed in the Pasuk itself. Because remember, the Pasuk showed us three ways that Shaul tried to consult Hashem. Bachalomos, Ba'urim, Banavim. Says the Malbim, in what order should Shaul have consulted Hashem? Should he have started with the most Kedusha or not? Or should he have started with the least Kedusha? Says the Malbim, of course, you're trying to consult Hashem to try to figure out what to do. You start with the greatest Kedusha. He should have started with the Nevi'im. Because Nevuah is the greatest level. That's the greatest level of connection to Hashem. Okay, you don't get an answer with Nevuah, so then you downgrade a little bit. You go to Urim V'Tumim. That's Ruach HaKodesh. You don't get an answer with Ruach HaKodesh, so then you try Chalomos. That's a very low level. It's even less than Ruach HaKodesh. He didn't do that. He went the opposite. He started with the Shvachest level of Kedusha, with the weakest level of Kedusha. Chalomos, let me try that. No, didn't get anything? Okay, I'll go to the Urim V'Tumim. Urim V'Tumim also didn't answer me? Okay, I'll try Nevi'im. He did it the wrong way. And writes the Malbim, because he did it the wrong way, you see, this wasn't Drisha, Velo Darash Basha. And that was his downfall. She'ela, he did. He consulted, but half-heartedly. No, it's like you know, unfortunately, the way we daven sometimes. Did we daven? Yeah, we davened. How do we daven? Half-heartedly. In fact, this language of Drisha is fascinating. So the Pasuk says when it comes to Rivka is pregnant with Yaakov and Esav. So the Pasuk says, Vatelech lidrosh es Hashem. Lidrosh es Hashem. And the Ramban there says, what's lidrosh es Hashem? It means to really daven. She went to really daven and figure out what's going to be with this pregnancy. You know, I'm feeling all this discomfort. She was really putting her kavos into it. That's how you daven. Lidrosh es Hashem. Velo darash b'Hashem. But here, Shaul didn't do that. We can't consult Hashem half-heartedly. We can't dive into Hashem, you know, with half our brain, and half our brain is thinking about the stock market or about what we just had for lunch or about the football game, right? We have to be doresh es b'Hashem. We have to seek out Hashem. When we daven, when we want advice, we have to daven for these things. Shaul did it half-heartedly. And that was the source of his downfall and his ultimate demise as Melech. Yeah, Mikey, you had a point to make.
Yeah, I don't know if this is not mentioned in the Pshat. It's mentioned in Drush that when Shaul was seeking advice after he killed all these necromancers, Avner showed him where to go because Avner's mother was the necromancer that we're going to see later on in the Perek. Yet Avner was not punished for guiding Shaul to this. Why?
Good question. I don't know. I was not familiar with that Medrash. But I can actually
take a picture of it. It's an Ishei Tanach where it talks about Avner's life. And it says when Avner recommended this necromancer, it says that it was his mother.
Very interesting. I'll take
a picture of it and print it out for you.
That would be great. Thank you. Very interesting.
So it doesn't make sense that Avner wasn't punished, yet Shaul was punished for this.
I hear you. I mean, Shaul was punished because he did something wrong.
Right.
But
Avner was punished later on also.
If Avner, you know, helped him out, why was he not punished? That's a good question. I don't know. Naomi asked a question on the chat that, good question, right? That she would think that the opposite is true. You go from the lowest to the highest, right? Not from the highest to the lowest. Maybe he was thinking I'm not worthy to go to the highest level of Kedusha. It's a good question. That's a good question. No, but the Malbim is saying that Shaul was chote. Shaul did something wrong by going lowest to highest. She's asking what was wrong. Meaning maybe he thought, okay, I'm not worthy for the greatest Kedusha, so I'll try the lowest level. It's a good question. I think what the Malbim means is that, you know, listen, Shaul was the Melech Yisrael. Shaul was asking a question, not, should I have you know, plain pizza or mushroom pizza for lunch. Right? Shaul was asking a question about going to battle against the Plishtim. So this is serious business. He's got to have the bitachon in Hashem that he's going to talk and he's going to put his kishkas into the question and Hashem will guide him. The fact that he's starting out with these low levels of connection to Hashem show like a lack of bitachon, I think. It shows a lack of connection and a lack of bitachon in Hashem. You know, he should have gone for the, you know, go for the home run. You're the king of the Jewish people and you're seeking guidance from Hashem about fighting the Plishtim. Go for the gold. Don't just settle for some halomos. You know, so I think logically, Naomi, it's a good question. Logically, you're right. But I think in this circumstance specifically, because he was the melech, and because the matter that he was consulting Hashem about was so serious, it was the battle between Bnei Yisrael and the Plishtim, he had to go for the gold. Okay. So now he's stuck. He asks Hashem. Hashem's not answering him. He doesn't know what to do. He's got to go into battle. What does he do? Pasuk Zayin. Vayomer Shaul la'avodav, bakshuli eishes ba'las ov. So Shaul turns to his avodim and he says, I need you guys to find me one of these women, one of these sorcerers, one of these necromancers. I need you to find me one. Why a woman? It's interesting. Radak points out that usually these people were women, right? The women were very often involved in this thing. In fact, the Torah says, when it comes to like witchcraft, the Torah says, "Mechasheifa lo sechaye." Don't allow the witch, meaning a female witch, to live. So you see that most of these people were women. It's interesting if you think about lahavdil, even secular culture, and the concept of a witch is always a female, right? You never have, you have sorcerers, you know, that are male, but the concept of a witch is always a female. Okay. Anyway, so he says, I need you to find me one of these women. Ve'elcha eleha, I'll go to her. Ve'edrisha ba, and I'll seek her out. And here, nope, the Malbim here doesn't point this out, but it's interesting because here he does use the word ve'edrisha ba. I'm going to put my kishkas into this. I'm going to put my kochos into this consultation. What about Hashem? You didn't do that to Hashem, but here, ve'edrisha ba. Vayomru avada ve'lov. And his servants say to him, Hine Eishes Balas Ov the Ein Dor. In this place, Ein Dor, there's a woman, she'll be able to help you. Now the Malbim interestingly says that why did Shaul say Ve'edrisha Ba? Why did he say I will seek out her? Why didn't he say I will seek out the Ovos? I will seek out the spirits. That's what he really wants to consult. So says the Malbim, Shaul was trying to evade punishment here. He knows that the Torah prohibits this type of thing. Ove nidoni are usher. Mechashefa is usher. All these things are usher. You're not allowed to do this. So Shaul said, you know what? I'm going to find a loophole. I'll ask her to consult the spirits. So she's doing the Aveira, not me. And I'll just consult her. So I'm not doing anything wrong. Right? She's the one who's doing the Aveira. I'm just asking her, you know, her opinion based on what she saw, based on what she heard. Later, we find that he actually consults the spirit himself, and that's part of the problem, part of his Aveira. But he was trying to find this loophole and get out of it. Okay. Pasuk Ches. Now, Shaul, you know, is in a little bit of a pickle here because his men just identified where this necromancer is going to be. Only problem is that Shaul, as we read in the beginning of the Perek, just worked very hard to get rid of all these people from Eretz Yisrael, shut down their businesses. Closed down all those psychic shops. So how would it look if now the melech, who just went through all of this trouble to get rid of everyone, goes out and seeks this person? So Shaul's got to do it shtilahit. He's got to do it discreetly, quietly. Vayischapes Shaul. So Shaul disguises himself. He disguises himself. He takes off his royal clothing, says the Radak. No one should recognize him. He dresses in plain clothing. He goes with two people. Now here the Radak actually says, and this is what Mikey was referring to. Mikey, I just realized the Radak says this. He says the two men, one of them was Avner and one of them was Amasa. He goes with these two men. Okay. Why two men? So the Malbim says that When's the last time a king traveled with only two people? Never. King travels with an entourage. So if you see someone traveling with two men, no one's going to think he's the king. So it's another way that he's disguising himself. And they came to the woman at night. Now, Poshup shot at night also, says the Malbim and the Radak, also to disguise. Right? Number one, so the Malbim says, because kings don't go out at night. Right? You don't hear about Biden hitting up the nightlife. Right? Kings don't go out at night. So here he's going out at night. Nobody's going to think he's the king. Says the Radak also, he went at night so that she wouldn't recognize him. He doesn't want the woman to recognize him as the king. So at night, you know, it's harder to see. They didn't have electric lighting in those days. Rashi does mention an interesting Medrash Tanhua, who says that really it was the daytime. It was not nighttime. So why does it say, Vayavoa la'isha laila? He says because of the tzaros that he and Klal Yisrael were going through, it was like nighttime. It was like the nighttime. But that's a Medrash. That's a Medrash Tanhum. Vayomer, and he says to this woman as he comes into her shop, Kosamina li ba'ov, please conjure up this spirit for me. Vahalili esa sher omar elayich. And please raise the spirit that I will seek of you, that I will ask of you. And ov, this process of ov, aleph, vav, veis, ov, is the process of bringing up these dead spirits, the spirits of the dead, you know, kind of reviving them with some sort of magic, sorcery, necromancy, and trying to ask things of them, ask them for guidance, ask them for advice. Okay. Now again, another way of disguising himself is that he says Asher Omari, like he doesn't say who he wants right away. He just says, you know, whoever I'm going to tell you. Okay. The woman is not suspecting that he's the king. Pasuk Tes, Atomar Isha Elov, Hineata Yadata Isa Sherasa Shoal. She says, hey, you know what Shoal did here? You know what Shoal did to all the people in my profession? So obviously she knows, she doesn't think he's Shoal. She's talking to him about Shoal. Asher Hichris is Ovos Sayidoni, Min Haaretz. He shut us all down. He closed our businesses. He drove us out of the land. You're trying to get me in trouble. You're trying to get me killed. If I do this, they're going to catch me and they're going to kill me. Right? Shoal outlawed this kind of thing. Now, of course, he Shoal, Pasuk Yud, by Yishava lo Shoal ba Hashem lemor chai Hashem im yikreich avon ba davar hazeh. He swears her. He says, lady, I swear nothing will happen to you. I swear. He doesn't tell her that he's Shoal, right? And that's the reason why nothing's going to happen to her. But he says, I swear nothing's going to happen to you. I promise you nothing's going to happen to you. Atomer ha'isha, pasuk yud aleph. Esmi alalach. Okay. So, who do you want? Which spirit should I bring up? Vayomer es Shmuel halili. So Shoal says, please bring up the spirit of Shmuel.
Now she says,
1 second, not yet. Not yet. Pasuk Yud Beis. Vatere ha'isha es Shmuel. Vatizak b'kol gadol. So the woman sees Shmuel. She brings him up. She sees his spirit and she screams. Vatomer ha'isha el Shaul lemor. Lo marimi sani v'yata Shaul. She says, why'd you trick me? You're Shaul. Now all the Mefarshim say, 1 second, what just happened? The woman sees Shmuel, and all of a sudden she realizes that the one who asked was Shoal. How does she realize that? How does she put two and two together? And why is she screaming? So all of the Mefarshim say that when she saw Shmuel, Shmuel looked different than every other spirit that she had ever raised. Normally, now I'm not a big expert in raising spirits. I think they call it a seance or something like that. Right, if you look online, I googled a little bit today just to check out. I didn't look too deep. Don't worry, but just like Wikipedia, but there are these people that claim that they can do these kind of things. Okay, now we'll talk about that in a second. But apparently, all the other spirits that she had ever raised they come up feet first. That's how they came up. Shmuel came up head first. And all of a sudden she thought, oh my gosh, why is he coming up head first? And she realized that the reason why he must be coming up head first is because of the kavod of the person who asked. Who was the person who asked? Who would be demanding kavod from Shmuel? Must be, he's the king. Must be, this is Shaul. And then maybe she recognized him, I don't know. And she screams. And she says, well, you're trying to catch me? Right? That's why she screams, says the Radak. You know, you're trying to test me? You're trying to catch me and kill me? Okay. Now, very interesting conversation here. And I know we're almost out of time. Just to finish this off, the Malbim says, what was going on here? You know, is this legit? Is this real? Is it not real? What's happening? You know, and to think that this woman, this crazy woman, you know, the spirit lady, she can have some sort of a shlita, some sort of a power over the spirit of Shmuel? Shmuel Anavi, who was one of the holiest people of the generation? You know, that she would have the ability to conjure up his spirit? How does that work? So he quotes, the Malbim quotes like 8 different interpretations about what's going on here. And I'll just rattle them off quickly. He quotes a Rav Shmuel ben Chofni who says this was all fakery. It was all trickery. This was not real. That's one. The Ralbag says this was all using the powers of imagination. You know, kind of getting yourself into a trance, into hypnosis, and thinking that you see the spirit, not the actual spirit, but thinking that you see the spirit. But the Malbim says it's difficult because the Psukim sound like it's real. As we'll read more next week, the Psukim sound like it's real. He quotes Rav Haigon and Rav Sadia Gon, who say that the spirit of Shmuel did come back, but it wasn't because of this lady. She wouldn't have been able to do it. Hashem brought the spirit of Shmuel back. The lady started the process, but Hashem was the one who really brought the spirit of Shmuel back in order to tell Shaul what was going to happen to him and his family. Ask the Malbim on that, but then why didn't Hashem answer him with the Chalomos, the Urim V'Tumim, or the Nevi'im? All of a sudden, Hashem decides to answer him with this Balas Ov. It's a strange thing. He quotes the opinion of the Mahari, who says this was a shade. It was a demon. It was not Shmuel's spirit. It was a demon that came up looking like Shmuel, but it wasn't really Shmuel. And then he quotes the Akedas Yitzchak, who says that the woman began the process, but the spirit of Shmuel itself finished it off. She would not have been able to bring Shmuel back. She began the process, and then Shmuel's spirit itself brought itself back to talk to Shaul. Now, the Malbim himself says that if you look in Chazal, they talk about this. So says the Malbim, it's legitimate. It's a real thing. And Chazal talk about, you know, that the person who brings it up can only see it, not hear it. The person who asks can hear, not see. He says this was a real power that people had to conjure up the spirits of the dead and to consult them. And that's what was going on here. It was real. Now, the only thing is, they usually only had the ability to do it with spirits that had recently died that were still somehow connected to the guf. For the first 12 months after death, he says that many spirits are still connected to the guf. The Gemara says that the spirits go up, go down, go up, go down. They're still connected to the body. So since they're still connected to the body, these people had the ability to kind of tap into that and bring the spirits back. But he asks Shmuel, who was so kadosh, who was so holy, as soon as he died, his neshama left. Went right back up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So how could this woman have controlled Shmuel's spirit? That's what he's bothered by. Okay, so final pasuk, but this will close for the night. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Actually, 2 more quick pasukim, and then we'll stop. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomer Lo HaMelech Al Tiri. He says, don't be afraid. Shaul says to the woman, don't be afraid. Ki ma ra'is, what do you see? Now again, Shaul couldn't see this. Only the woman who brought the spirit back could see. Shaul couldn't see. Vatomer ha'isha el Shaul, Elohim ra'isi oli min ha'aretz. I see Elohim. Rashi says she saw 2 malachim. Moshe and Shmuel. Why was Moshe brought in here? So says Rashi, Shmuel was afraid, was nervous that his spirit was being brought back for a din, for a judgment. So he got Moshe to come with him. as like his defense attorney. You know, so he brought Moshe's spirit with him. That's what Rashi says. Radak says Pashup Shad is Elohim just means somebody chashuv, and it uses the plural of Olim just because it's Elohim, but really it's the kind of the royal we. It's somebody chashuv meaning Shmuel, but that's it. He says the Medrash is that it was Moshe's nefesh that came back. He has mercy on Klal Yisrael, etc. Pasuk Yedalad, Vayomer lo Mataro. So Shaul says, oh, it's Shmuel? What does he look like? Mataro, what does he look like? Vatomer ish zaken ole, v'hu ota me'il. He's an old man, and he's wearing a coat. He's wearing a me'il. Okay, sounds like Shmuel. Vayeda Shaul ki Shmuel. So Shaul knew, oh, that's Shmuel. Vayikod apayim arzav ayishtach, when he bows down towards the spirit. Rashi points out that Shmuel, we know from Perek Beis Pasuk Yotes, u'me'il katon tas Elohimo. He used to wear a me'il. He used to wear a me'il, and he says, actually Rashi says that in Tchias HaReisim, people come back in their clothing. So whatever you normally wore, I guess I'm coming back in a suit. Whatever you normally wore during your lifetime, so you come back in that clothing. So he came back in a me'il, and that's how Shmuel knew. That's how Shaul, I'm sorry, knew that it was really him. The Malbim says, like a Medrash, he says that Ish Zakin refers to Moshe, because Moshe died at 120. Shmuel died at 52. Shmuel wasn't a very old man when he died, right? So Ish Zakin, he says, must be referring to Moshe, and Vehu Ota Me'il is referring to Shmuel. Okay, so fascinating. We have to stop here for tonight, but Amir Tzashem will pick up next week with what exactly this communication was between the spirit of Shmuel and Shaul. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you for joining.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Yes.
You.